Call the meeting to order. Representative Owens, welcome again.
Thank you.
Why don't you just start right off?
Okay, I'm here on behalf of the city of Havelock about a water tower that they should have tried to, should be replacing years ago that they're just asking for now. And from there, I will turn it over to Dan Money, a Havelock City Council member, to explain in more detail exactly what is needed.
Welcome, Mayor. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. I'm not the mayor, I'm just the city councilman.
Oh, so. I was calling you mayor yesterday and you never corrected me.
We've just promoted you. Yeah, thank you. Well, I guess I should say I'm the assistant mayor, so we can use that. But thanks for having me here today. We are looking at a bill for $475,000. I think there's a report, I think you have it, about our water tower situation. We had our engineering firm take a look at it back in 2001, and that report stated that the water tower as is is in real bad shape. No one really knows when our water tower was actually constructed. We think it's 50 to 60 years ago, and it was refurbished in 1981, but now it's showing its age. It's lots of pits in it, holes in it. The recommendation at the time in 2001 was that the roof be replaced and the upper 3 feet of the bowl be replaced. The other option was to replace the entire tower. At about that time, really quickly, the city was going through some other major infrastructure changes. In the last 5 years, we've replaced our water and sewer and street repair. And for the city is about 1,200 people, we're looking at about 500 households that are connected to the water. So it's a pretty small town, and we're looking at some major costs that we've hit in the last 5 years, replacing streets and water lines and those kinds of things. The reason we didn't move forward on the tower was just for that. We were replacing water lines and streets and trying to get that done. Invested hundreds of thousands of dollars on those projects, and we're about done this summer, where we will be completing the last round of the other infrastructure, and now we're looking at this tower looming at us then. And we have tried in the last year, we've looked at USDA programs, rural development programs. We had Midwest Assistance Program trying to help us out, and came back, we did not qualify for those programs because our median income is too high. And so that's where we come today. We started some discussions with Representative Olin, and that's why we're here today.
Okay, thank you, Deputy Mayor. Representative, thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the testifiers, is this on the public facilities priority list, and how far is it on it?
No, at this time we have not applied through the public facilities.
Okay.
Like I said, we have the last year we've been focusing our attention on the USDA programs. And
Representative Gunter, members, they tried to go through the federal government thinking they'd qualify. They've got some retired farmers who, for whatever reason, income drove them above qualifying for their median income.
Yeah, we're a little bit of unique on that because the city of Havelock is the county seat of Kitson County. Kitson County, I think, just went under population 5,000. So we've been decreasing in population, and our population is more elderly. However, we do have a certain part of the population that is farming and has drives that median income number up.
And so they've spent the last couple of years spinning their wheels on federal money and realized they can't qualify and all. Have come, and the tower is in really tough shape. They've got holes in the roof and everything else. Representative Olin, do you know what the average home is, and if you had to fix this and levy, what it might cost? Do you know those figures at all?
Mr. Money probably has a better number than I do.
And we looked at it. I did talk to our city clerk yesterday some, and it would the brunt of this would have to go back on the as a water rate increase. So if there's 500 homes and the cost of a new tower is $950,000, you know, we'd look at spreading that over, say, like a 20-year period. But we're probably talking about increasing water rates in the $20, $25 range per month for over, you know, that time period of 20 years. Again, a small population of 500 where we've increased their rates or their taxes for other infrastructure, it's getting to the point where it's really hurting some of the families that are in town.
Okay, Representative Gunther moves South 29. We got a quorum. Yeah. Representative Gunther moves South 2960 be recommended to pass and held over for further inclusion in the higher education and workforce development budget. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you.
Thank you
very much,
Chairman and Committee.
Representative Peterson. Representative Aaron Peterson. Representative Briner moves that House File 2931 be recommended to pass and held over for possible inclusion in the higher ed and workforce development budget. Bonding bill. Minnesota River Regional Park.
Oh, Minnesota River Regional Park. Okay.
We'll get to a couple bills in rapid order. Okay. Go ahead. Welcome to the committee, Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Chair Rukavina. And today we're discussing a couple things in western Minnesota, the Minnesota River Regional Park in Ortonville, and in the area of Big Stone Lake in the city of Ortonville, Minnesota's 10th largest lake, and I think it's over 13,000 acres. It's very much a destination in western Minnesota, and there is a need at the foot of the lake, I'm told, and have been through many times, to improve sort of the lakeside park or Minnesota River headwaters area. Brings a lot of money in from South Dakota. Let's just keep it that short. And then the testifier from Ortonville can describe the project.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Identify yourself, please.
David Lang, City Administrator, Ortonville.
David, how much money do you bring in from South Dakota?
I can't give you a firm figure on
that's
that,
okay,
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead with your
question. I don't believe I've seen you since we were probably in the halls of Virginia High School together over 30 years ago.
You look so young compared to me. I thought you were just a young kid.
Well, I don't know. It looks like I've got all the gray hair, Mr. Chairman.
Don't worry. I have a stomach problem. Go ahead.
Thank you for allowing me to appear before you today. I did bring with me, and I believe the staff distributed a copy of your packet of our proposal we submitted to the Bonding Bill Committee. Basically, our proposal is to provide a restroom and concession building at the Lakeside Park. It is in the city of Ortonville, which happens to be at the foot of Big Stone Lake. Big Stone Lake is probably one of the last affordable, almost undiscovered lakes in Minnesota. It is the 10th largest lake in Minnesota, and it is a regional destination. At the present time, we have a very inadequate small restroom at the very north end and around the corner of the park. But the county is working on a trail which is going to come from the headwaters of the Minnesota River south down to the beginning of the river valley and connect up first with the National Wildlife Refuge that is just south of Ortonville in the river bottom. And from there, it's also going to eventually extend down to Appleton, and we hope many, many more miles down the Minnesota River Valley. And this will help facilitate creation of a trailhead. It's kind of a phased project, but we are only coming to you with a very modest request of money for a restroom and concession facility, some money for a playground, and money for a sidewalk along the lakeside of the park to separate pedestrian traffic from the only road that goes through the park. Our total request is $129,000, and if funded, we would begin construction this year and complete construction this year, and the city would match that 50-50. Some of you have a DVD. We didn't have time to make more than 14 copies on short notice, and we hope that staff will share those with you as well. And this is really a regional park. It is kind of a nexus where U.S. Highway 12 crosses into South Dakota at the southern end of the lake, and we do get a lot of drive-by traffic, and it is a destination for a lot of tourists. We are also in the process of working on other efforts to begin to rehabilitate our downtown through the Minnesota Department of Economic Employment and Economic Development. We're a finalist for a grant for the Small Cities Development Program as well. But tourism is one of our prime industries, as well as working on attracting baby boomers and recreational dollars to the region. And we're hopeful that you will agree and fund this. The Senate Bond and Bill Committee called on us last November and had an outstanding visit. As part of the fundraising for this project, the Early Childhood Coalition in town is selling bricks for pavers to go to the playground portion of the project. And several of the Senate Bonding Bill committees were so impressed, many committee members bought bricks on the spot before they got on the bus. And we had a great visit from them. And I would like to entertain any questions if anybody has any.
Are there any questions of Mr. Lang? And he mentioned there's a dollar-for-dollar match, Representative North.
I was just looking at the picture here. And I'm just, that's our community pier. It's probably nothing to do with your project, but I'm just curious, is that a city-owned pier that's in the lake?
Representative right Peterson.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No.
Oh, okay.
City-owned.
Okay, just curious.
I might mention for the committee's information that Mr. Lang's father was my accounting teacher at McSnabbie Community College, and his mother, Myrna, and Andrew and Myrna, and mother was in a nursing home for a short while with my mother, so it's nice to see you again. You don't recognize. The years, work wonders with us sometimes, so I probably haven't seen you for 30 years, maybe, huh?
Well, I graduated in 66, and I think you were a couple years behind me in time, were you not?
And intelligence, too.
No.
So, obviously. Any other questions? If not, then Representative Reinhart renews her motion that House File 2931 be recommended to pass and held over for possible inclusion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
I'd like to thank the committee, and also since we are a Border Waters Lake, not a Big Sun Lake, I'd like to remind you all the fishing opens in April. So come on out.
And you already have your limit, right, Representative Peterson? Representative Slocum, would you move, please, House File 2584?
Mm-hmm.
And we recommend it to pass and held over for possible inclusion in the so, Representative Peterson again, Nassau Fire Station.
Thank you again, Chair Rukavina and committee members. We'll get her going here. Nassau is on the west end of Minnesota, within view of the South Dakota border, and fire station is needed. It's a grant, I believe, from Deed. The grant from Deed for $125,000, and with me is the representative from the city.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. My name is Don Wildung. I'm one of the firemen in the Nassau Fire Department. My wife's the mayor, so she thought I should come and represent her. I've been on the fire department coming up on 40 years, and I have with me the fire chief, Brad Strike, who's been on the department a long, long time. He's also EMT and also on the city council. And Rick Barrett is also a fireman at Twitter. There's three of us here. We have a dilemma. The original program we set up through the state was a program of $250,000 matching by the city, or by the fire department, which became impossible. The funds were not available. We couldn't make it work at all. As of yesterday at noon, we just found out about this grant of $125,000, and that will work for what we're going to do. We want to put up a structure that will house our trucks. The problem with the fire department we have now, the trucks that we can procure don't fit. We can't get them in the house. We can't get them in. So where our trucks are too small to do the job on the structures that are available if we can't get into a large fire. We have a good working relationship with the fire departments around us, which in a small community, that's the only way it's going to work. We have some new firemen coming on board. We have no place to put their equipment. We have to build on and make room for the turnout gear, for the air packs and things like that. And right now, we just don't have the facility that can handle it. If we can make this work through a grant, we can build a structure It won't be completed, but we have good in-house people, good firemen that will come in, work on off time, work on their time, and complete the building at no charge. They'll come in and do all the work. And we got farmers, we have contractors that have volunteered to come in and help us also. So we can complete it if this grant would be a probability. We all got pretty excited about it when we heard about it yesterday. If Brad would have put the word out, we'd have had the whole fire department down here. If there's any questions as to what you have any on it, I'd be glad to answer them. If there's any technical questions, that's what I got Brad along for.
Mr. Wilding, is it?
Wilding, right.
Sir, is the... Now, just help me out here, or Representative Peterson. How big is NASA?
Population is going to be at about 80 people, 90. We have a large portion of them are senior citizens. They don't want to move away from the small community. They got their homes there. They want to stay there. The rural area, the same way. They're living out on the farms yet. If we would disperse with our fire department, the call time would be from 15 to 20 minutes from Marietta and a half an hour from Madison. And some of these places wouldn't survive.
So you're not only, you've got your EMT and your fire department in the same place.
Yes.
And definitely. How big is the square mile area you cover?
Right now about 30 to 35 miles. We go into South Dakota, we have a working relationship with the South Dakota Fire Department also. We're right on the border, so we all work together. It's the only way it's going to work in a small community.
Okay, any other questions? Representative Dunn.
I just happened to think of something. You know, I have one very similar, only in the southern border. And they asked me what statewide significance it had. I very proudly looked at them and said, now I have statewide, it has interstate significance. Sure it does, too.
There you go.
Oh, you got Iowa. Oh, very good.
We'll tell that to Governor. You relay that message to Governor Plante for us.
I got burned so much. It's a bruise, by the way.
Okay, no further questions then. Representative Slocum renews her motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very
I
much.
I really appreciate us having this honor to visit with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Rick. Again, these guys hustled down and made it, and I'm glad they did and met your schedule. So.
Well, and we were glad to take them, and not that you didn't. We apologize for the short delay, but we had some business on the floor we had to take care of.
Not a problem.
But I always like to hear the bills from the members that have to come the farthest.
So, thank you.
We'll see you. Representative Walslager, House Bill 2575. Representative Bly moves. Representative Bly, would you move House Bill 2575? Be recommended passed and held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Welcome to the committee, Representative Walslager. Usually I only allow one witness, but because it's you, I'll allow two. If you
they
promise
to be with me.
Not to talk too
you
much,
to
and three, they can, you can sit three at the table.
Sure.
You can just quickly introduce them or do proceed on how you want.
Yes, Chair Rickman. Okay, with me here is to testify Rick Maspa, who is our Red Wing Public Works Deputy Director and Director of Solid Waste. I also have City Council members Mike Stokes and Dean Holt. Let me begin by stating that I'm well aware that Rangers probably call biosolids the number two.
No, we call it much worse than that. Go ahead.
But we are here to discuss the environmental and economic benefits of a Class A biosolids facility on the same site as the waste-to-energy facility in Red Wing. This is a regional solution. I now know I should call that interstate solution for upwards of 25 other communities. We would be adding a job to the facility itself and certainly more work for the haulers. This is in compliance with more stringent wastewater permit effluent discharge limits, reduction of phosphorus discharge to our rivers, streams, and lakes, a finished product that will have nearly 100% of the pathogens removed, a finished product that will resemble potting soil, and a fertilizer for golf courses and playgrounds. With that, I will let Rick Maspa now provide his remarks.
Go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, Representative Ruth Cavini and Committee and members. The initiative that the Red Wing City Council and surrounding communities pursue is very forward-thinking and environmentally conscious. It's the construction and operation of a joint biofouls drying facility on 15 acres of land owned by the city on the same site as its waste energy facility and wastewater treatment plant. This could become a one-of-a-kind facility in the country, as cities typically don't have waste energy facilities and treatment plants on the same site. Essentially, the proposed facility will utilize available and renewable energy, the steam generated by the city's municipal solid waste incinerator, to process and dry the sludge. The final product, as Sandy mentioned, is a powder-like substance that can land applied as a fertilizer supplement. It has been approved by the EPA for many years and can be spread on playgrounds, golf courses, park areas, which would reduce the need for commercial fertilizer applications. Class A biosolid operations are used across the nation in larger cities and wastewater districts, but not by the smaller rural communities. The cost of energy is a major limitation for drying biosolids. The energy from the steam would replace the need for natural gas as the heat source, thus reducing the need to use natural resources to do this. The finished product has nearly 100% of the material's pathogens removed. The land application of biosolids has become harder and harder to do and more difficult and controversial. In order to comply with more stringent NPDES permits, Clean Water Act, phosphorus reduction and the like, so we don't discharge that in our rivers, streams, and lakes, a direct result of phosphorus reduction is the creation of more biosolids. So we are going to create more biosolids no matter what we do just by reducing that. The proposed biosolids facility will provide a regional location for about 25 communities that we've contacted so far. Benefits would include interstate cooperation, cost-effective solution, and environmentally friendly disposal of biosolids. This facility could provide a solution to other communities as well in our surrounding area. The list of benefits of this program is long and the science is sound, but the capital investment, with equipment being the major cost, is a hurdle we and the other 25 smaller communities in the city of Red Wing need your help with. This site has been a wastewater plant site since the 70s. We are not buying new land. Our incinerator has been there since 83. We have a public-private partnership to sell our steam currently to the SB Foot Tannery, which is now owned by the Red Wing Shoe Company. So this has been an area where our waste has been managed, compost, construction and demolition, and we don't need to buy new land or actually construct a lot of new buildings, just buy the equipment to do it. Jobs for this would be construction workers, and as Sandy mentioned before, there would be constant daily hauling of the material to this facility. This is not only an environmental investment for us today, but the foreseeable future and our grandchildren's future. So this is a long-term process that we're hoping to accomplish. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions about this project? My question, I guess, is the city or the county or anybody putting in a match to the $8 million request?
Currently, what we've tried to do, I've been to Washington last fall to look for financing there. Unfortunately, there's no earmarking from our congressman, so that is not an opportunity for us.
He has my congressman do his earmark.
So we are looking for matching grant opportunities out there. The city has in our PFA, somebody asked about PFA before, we have to do some actual reconstruction of this site, so we are spending probably an additional $3 million of our own money on this site for wastewater treatment plant improvements, because this is a very old site.
Okay. Other questions? If not, then Representative Fly has made the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Curtis. Representative Curtis, you want to say Floodwood or Hibbing? Whatever one you want, Mr. Majority Leader.
They're closer.
Floodwood?
Yep.
Floodwood it is. Representative Poppy moves that House File 2578 be recommended to pass and held over for possible inclusion in our omnibus bonding bill. Representative Curtis, welcome to the committee. My seatmate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Member Kakosay.
Dobro.
This is a bill for some infrastructure for an industrial site outside, a business park outside of the city of Floodwood, a very small city located just south of the Iron Range and kind of situated by itself in between a lot of areas. It's got the Loop to one side, it's got the range above them, it's got Grand Rapids on the other side, and it's a small, vibrant community and a wonderful place. They need some help with an industrial park, getting some getting some of the infrastructure in place there. They have a business that's ready to locate, and I'll turn it over to the local folks to give you the details.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself.
Thank you. My name is Jessica Ritz. I'm the city administrator in Spudwood. Thanks for allowing us some time.
If you want to make a plug later on for Catcher's Days or anything, you can do that at the end.
Some of you have had the pleasure of being in Spudwood. Some of you haven't. So as Representative Sirdis has said, we are located right on Highway 73 and US 2. We're about equal distance from Grand Rapids, Polkady, Duluth, Hibbing, the Iron Range. During the last 15 years, the Spudwood City Council has made a lot of progress in developing and working very diligently towards making physical, social, and economic improvements to Spudwood. As you were told, Spudwood is a very small city, but we have a large, our school district population is about 2,000, and actually our school district touches all of those other areas. It's very large in square miles. Over the last 15 years, we've leveraged over $3 million to make those improvements that I stated above, and those are non-state funds. So for a small city, that's quite an accomplishment. We've done Main Street reconstruction, a lot of sewer improvements. We've given loans and grants to businesses, recreation improvements. We've accessed T21 funds, trails and waterways, St. Louis County Land Department. So now we're in front of you asking for some money. It's important to remember about Spudwood is we are not in the Iron Range Resource Agency service area. A lot of people think that we are just because we say we're in northeastern Minnesota. We're not. So we haven't been able to use that source of funding for projects like this, a business park. The projects I listed can only be attributed to strong leadership as well as responsible, deliberate, and careful planning. You can be assured that we've done the same with this business park concept. The business park in particular is located right on 73. It's a mile and a half off of US 2. It consists of 80 acres. There's telephone, electric, gas, fiber optics that run directly in front of the park. We've explored and found three possible ways to run water and sewer out there. The property is owned by the city and has been annexed, which if developed will increase our tax base tremendously. In the last year and a half, I've worked with four businesses who are interested in building on that land. As Representative Sirdis said, we do have one business that's ready to go. The next business that comes to my door, I want to put them in the park. I don't want to have to wait another. We've been working on this project since the year 2000. As I said, we've been working on the project since 2000. It was in a 2000 state appropriation request, but it was turned down because it was viewed primarily as a local project, and equity issues, they said, might arise if a local project like this is funded. Well, since 2000, the state has funded quite a few projects like this, so obviously changed their views on small projects. And fair or not, but it's ready. We've done our homework. We're ready to go. We want to put some businesses in there.
Okay. Well, are there any questions? Are you... Representative Sirdis, is there a match here?
There is. The city has already put over $200,000 into the project already. We have access to Minnesota Rural Water, temporary financing. We're ready to bond. We can borrow for it.
Other questions?
And then, Mr. Chair, if there are none, I just also want to introduce Mayor Kletcher, who's here with us.
Mayor, would you like to say just a few short words because we've got a few more bills? You want to just give us a little...
Thank you for having us down here today. Spudwood's a great place, and this is the next step that the City Council has envisioned through our planning process. We bought the land. We put some roads in it. You've got in your packet some information on preliminary concepts and some additional information about Spudwood. So we're ready to go.
It's a great community. One of these days I'm going to make it to you. Invite me all the time to golf, and I don't play much golf. I get nervous that if I do, I might become a Republican. So I don't play. But one of these days I'm going to make it down there.
That's
so
we,
with that,
true.
Representative Poppy renews her motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye, opposed. Thank you very much. Representative Sirdis, you just want to move on?
Sure.
Representative Curtis and Representative, Representative Severson, would you like to move House File 2449 be recommended pass?
I'd be honored.
And Representative Severson moves House File 2449 be recommended pass and held over for possible inclusion in our bill, which we're going to be putting together tomorrow night, members, remember that. Representative Curtis, then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. This is a bigger, more longer-term project called the Central Range Renaissance Project. It deals a lot with wellness and putting a hub in our community that's forward-looking, that has excellent public and private partners from across the Iron Range and business community. And I want to turn over to these two gentlemen to speak briefly about the project.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chairman Recovina. My name is Robert Valentine, and I'm here today with Dr. Dan Cornier to tell you a little bit about this project. We were coached in advance to be aware and sensitive to time issues. We don't want to upset the committee by taking too much time. So we will move on quickly.
We picked a little bit of time up. Representative Anzels and Solberg are the last two, I think.
I'd like to...
Representative Haas. Oh, yeah.
Mr.
Okay.
Chair, please.
You can get a little bit of time. A little bit of time. That's it.
A little bit of time.
Yeah.
Having said that, Chairman Rexine, I'd like to draw the committee's attention to the handouts that you have. And there, for the Central Range Renaissance Project, we're going to spare you with our 12-hour PowerPoint and condense it down to 2 or 3 minutes. And to do that, what we'd like to do is direct your attention to page 2. But then Dr. Cornegay, the chair of the Central Range Renaissance Foundation, is going to walk you through these bullets. But the first thing you have to know, and you've already noticed, we're on the agenda as the Hibbing Memorial Renovation, and that is indeed the case. But it's important that you know that the city of Hibbing, with its blessing, has joined with the Central Range Renaissance Task Force and has folded that project into a larger, what we feel, more important and worthwhile project for the state of Minnesota and for northern Minnesota. And so we're here today to tell you about the Central Range Renaissance Project. At the core of that will be the Central Range Renaissance Center, and we'll be showing that to you in just a few minutes. But as Mr. Circus just pointed out to you, we feel that this is a project that has state significance. A number of people are coming before you today. This project is designed to save the state money, and it's also designed to produce revenue. And we'll be showing that to you while we walk you through these bullets. Please go to page 2, and I'd like to ask Dr. Cornier, our chair of our foundation, of this effort to walk us through some of these bullets.
Dr. Cornelius, welcome to the committee. If you could be brief as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Representative Curtis and Bob. First of all, statewide significance of this program lies in its wellness program and taking wellness out of the realm of the hospital or regional hospitals and putting it into the community and into the community center and making it a responsibility of the community to prevent disease rather than the current model that we use, which is an acute care model that we wait until people are sick and then try to cure them rather than prevent the disease from occurring itself. Based on the state's own numbers and our population base, we have an estimate of $5 to $7 million in savings per year through this wellness program. And we have spoken with all of the major healthcare providers in our region, and they're all extremely excited about this program and have come forth with the idea of forming a consortium to provide these services to the region. For the other additional portions of the project, I'm going to turn the rest over to Bob here for the next few points.
We're going to go back and forth on a couple of these bullets.
You don't have much time to do that.
All right, we'll do it very quickly, sir. We've already touched on the first is that this project is designed, we feel that this is a prototype that can be duplicated in other parts of the state where we're combining social, civic, recreational, and health services at a single location for the idea of total wellness. We feel that we can document, as we said, in a minimum of $5 to $7 million annually in Medicare and Medicaid payments through the wellness program that we'd be implementing in doing this. The other part of this, as we've also said, because this would be total wellness integrated into the community, we have recreational, athletic, and health service activities at that location that will also produce revenue of approximately $30 million. We also think it's important that you know that as we stand here, today, we have backing of the major cities of the Central Range of this project. Mayor Rick Wolf is on our committee,
Mike Jugovich, Mayor of Chisholm, is on our foundation. And just last week we presented to the City of Virginia, and they have voted to take this into consideration of joining the project as well, seeing this as a leadership group. So we're very pleased that this is a major regional effort. Dr. Cornet, do you want to speak to the prototype?
What we're hoping to do with this is to develop a prototype again of how communities throughout the state of Minnesota can provide wellness services across the region, and again develop a consortium of healthcare providers for the benefit of the community as well as the state, and to allow the state and federal government to save money on healthcare through this community-based effort.
With that, we also want to emphasize that we are designing into this the elimination of duplication of medical services. We feel that there will be an actual savings in that capacity. And as we said, we have a five health organization consortium interested in participating in this project at this location. Another thing that has come up, we're very proud of the fact that this is a public-private partnership. We've been in touch with all of the major mining companies, all of the major corporations who have invited us to present to them for their foundation for actual support and participation. We feel that the project is important as far as retention of workers in on the range. As you know, Chairman Rakovina, 2,000 to 3,000 workers will be retiring from the mines over the next 5 years, plus an additional 2,000 to 3,000 new jobs have to be filled with Minnesota Steel coming, Mesabi Pellet. And so this also will be a magnet attraction for bringing families to the area and keeping them in the area as well. And finally, as we said, we feel that this also will be a tourist destination because of the venues that we have for multiple sports activities being combined with the health services. Earlier we mentioned the idea of total integration of wellness. If we had more time to explain that to you, but simply put, just last night in his speech, Barack Obama said that our country has to be about the business of managing wellness rather than curing disease. And this project is designed to do just that. We also want you to know that in addition to coming and just asking for funds, this is a project that will make you your money back and ultimately produce a profit. And we're very pleased with that.
Thank you very much, Representative Curtis. Any final comments?
Just final comments, Mr. Chair, is that when you look at the request, there's discussion about the memorial building in Hibbing and also the Miners Memorial in Virginia, and there's some great asset preservation for some very old buildings that are a piece of this overall project.
Okay, thank you. Question, Representative
Clark. I think one of my questions was, is this the memorial building request?
Yes.
That's what that is?
Yes.
Okay. The second one is, I'm very interested in your cost-saving models for wellness. I'm trying to do something in my little...
Doctor, do you want to comment on that?
Park Center, and I'm just wondering if you could tell me how you figured out the savings. I'd like to...
Well, it's actually, all we did was took a look at what the population base was throughout the Central Range. And in fact, the percentage of seniors on the Central Range is one of the highest in the state. Also, if we take a look at what the percentage of those in long-term care, we also have one of the highest percentages in the state. Approximately 12% of seniors are in long-term care currently, or at any one time, in the Central Range, with the state average being approximately 9%. What we did is we took a look at if we just move back to the average, if we take that 12% and move it back to the average, we'll save the state a minimum, the government a minimum of $5 million a year. Now, if we do as most wellness programs say that we can and improve beyond the average and go on a 15 to 20% improvement in long-term care, percentage of patients in long-term care, we can actually stretch that up to $7 to even $9 million.
I'd like to add to that that as a result of the design of this project, we've actually had contact.
Make her quick. I think that was a good answer. Okay. Representative Wealthy.
I've seen some communities around the state that have had some really good initiatives to bring in people, get them exercising more, especially the seniors that are at risk for heart attacks and heart disease, and they've been able to show significant savings. But my question to you is, as I look at the pictures and look through this, I'm getting a sense that people are going to have to pay in order to use these services. Do you have built into your plan any way that people who cannot afford a membership that can participate and partake to help them with their health.
Doctor, Mr. Valentine?
Yes, and that's actually a key component of our plan moving forward, and that's the reason of the formation of the foundation, is to be able to go out and solicit funds to be able to make sure that everybody in the community is able to afford and participate in this wellness model and wellness product. And that's one of our main focuses, to make sure that we don't leave out a certain portion of the population because of their inability to afford these services.
Okay, Representative Eastland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had one question of clarification. You said 12% of seniors are in some kind of care. How do you define a senior?
Anything older than I am.
Am I a senior?
I purposely left that age out. I did not want to offend anybody.
31 or something?
Especially Bob here.
Social Security number.
Okay. No further questions then. Representative Severson,
I'd renew my motion.
Removes his motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Thank you very much. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kohlberg, and we'll take, you have witnesses from House File 2910. Representative Clark moves House File 2910. He recommended the pass and we referred to, he held over for possible inclusion around the bill. Welcome to committee, Representative Kohlberg. Your guest, you wanted to start right off?
Yeah, we'll be very quick and sweet. First of all, thank you. I have with me Kurt Burks, that is the candidate executive director of the Technology Center in Grand Rapids, and also has been working on the North Central Technology Laboratory in cooperation with the community of Grand Rapids and their Business Development Center.
So welcome.
Just let him explain the project to us, please.
Welcome to the committee. Thank you. Kurt Bostrom, representing the North Central Technology Laboratory Steering Group. Thank you, Chairman and members. And thank you for the opportunity to address you about the North Central Technology Laboratory project. The purpose of this initiative is to create the North Central Technology Laboratories, which is would be a world-class collaborative research and technology innovation program and center located in the heart of North Central Minnesota, with the purpose to improve the competitive position of the region's natural resource products industry by facilitating growth for training and research, boosting business growth by advancing bio-based innovations, and stimulating partnerships between local industry, state academic and research institutions, and governmental entities. I'll give you a little bit of history about the project just so you understand where we've been and how we got here today. In 2005, we began with a project that was a bit smaller in scope, which was geared towards a joint research center to accommodate UPM Bland and Paper Company in Grand Rapids and University of Minnesota to do collaborative research on paper science and those types of things. When we made a bonding request to the state and for the 2006 session and received an allocation through the Grand Rapids Economic Development Authority to pursue a feasibility study and pre-design for the project, which we did. That was completed in January of 2007, and the steering group has advanced the project with participants from the University of Minnesota, UPM, Itasca Community College, and Itasca Technology Exchange, and the Blandon Foundation. So the project that you see today is very much a unique public-private partnership to advance bio-based innovations, including biofuels and other renewable energy technologies. One component of it would also include an incubator type of activity. I represent Itasca Technology Exchange, and we've been doing technology-based business development since 1999 in a technology center in Grand Rapids that is primarily focused on information technology in the past, but we've been very successful in developing businesses from the ground up and bringing in public partners, such as the various educational institutions, to pursue this. The Grand Rapids area is a regional forest-based economic development hub with a key industry base in forest products companies, including UPM, companies like Ainsworth, and others. We have a strong college system focusing on workforce development, and this site in particular happens to be adjacent to Itasca Community College and the University of Minnesota North Central Research and Outreach Center in Grand Rapids, and would provide an opportunity for the community college's engineering program to work in partnership with the public and private partners within the facility to do collaborative research, experiential learning opportunities for students, and the like. The university would be a key partner. We work very closely with the university through their initiative for renewable energy and the environment on this project. They're supportive, as is the staff and researchers at the North Central Research and Outreach Center in Grand Rapids.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Buxton? Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did you say what the total project cost was? I don't know if I recall. The
total project cost is roughly $15 million.
Okay, and where's the balance of the money going to come from? How is it?
As I mentioned, the Blanner Foundation has been very supportive of the project. They provided some initial grant funding to pursue this project. If we're able to access state dollars for this project, they have invited us to submit a request for up to $5 million to match other monies put towards the project. And that would come from the Blanner Foundation. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So are you putting together labs and workspaces? How many people do you think this particular facility would accommodate, or jobs created, and how soon are you ready to go on the ground?
Well, it would be a tenant-based structure, so we envision that University of Minnesota and other private partners would pay for research facilities on site, basically lease access to the infrastructure and the wet and dry labs for the research that they're doing, as well as a pilot scale biorefinery that we plan to develop on site. The facility is 48,000 square feet. We assume that tenants involved in the project could employ up to 50 people or more. But it would depend on the tenants that we recruit to the facility and how many researchers they put in on site.
Mr. Chair,
quickly, we still
have when would you, your third question was, when would you be going in the ground?
We are prepared to advance the project. One of the key issues for us right now is solidifying some of the commitments and arrangements with the various tenants that have been partners to the project so far. So, for example, University of Minnesota and UPM, we would need to go back to them and actually sort of solidify their commitment. At this point, this project was originally precipitated by UPM pursuing the Thunderhawk project in Grand Rapids, which would have displaced their North American Research Center staff. State of the industry isn't such that project is advancing as quickly as it was originally anticipated, so we don't know for sure at what point they will be willing to make a commitment to do that. But we feel confident that we could recruit other tenants to make up the difference if that wasn't forthcoming in a timely manner.
Okay. No further questions, then. Representative Clark renews her motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Silver.
Thank you very much.
Representative Haas. And we'll try to get out of here in time for the next committee. And I'd like to welcome the UMD students I see over there, including my committee administrator, Sue. Don. Who's at UMD and doing quite well, I understand.
Of course.
Right, good. You got your smarts from your mother, obviously. Okay, welcome. Representative Haas moves that House File 2692 be recommended to pass and held over for possible inclusion in the
House. I would like to move that.
It's moved.
I've been working on my golf game, too, Mr. Chair, and it's a little windmill that is really, really complex. So I just
go ahead.
I'm here today to present a bill for the expansion of the Civic Center in St. Cloud. This facility dates back to 1988. At that time, I was the Park and Recreation Director, and it was a combined facility at that time of the gymnasium space and convention center. but it was just a matter of 6 months when conventions really took off and started eating up all the time in the gymnasium. So we had to then take the gymnasium, and we have a brand new gymnasium out at Whitney Senior Center, attached to the Whitney Senior Center. Again, after 20 years, this type of growth has occurred, and many of the conventions, it's just too small, and it's become very significant for us to expand this facility, and I think it's a good opportunity when the library. How significant it is probably shown by the people in the crowd from St. Cloud today, from the chamber and from our businesses and from trades and labor, from downtown, from our neighboring cities as well as the city of St. Cloud, are all down here to listen and to lobby a little bit in those areas. With me, I have my friend and mayor of St. Cloud, Dave Kleiss, who is a past senator.
In spite of that, we're going to be very nice to you today, Mayor. Welcome. And I see Mr. Anfang is here too. Mayor, it's a pleasure to have you. Remember that time you voted against my one? Go ahead.
Yes, you recollect. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. As the representative Claus mentioned, that we're here for the Civic Center expansion, and you have the material in front of you, so you have those numbers. Basically, what we have right now is 103 square feet facility that, again, as Representative Claus mentioned, was built in 1988. Since then, the city of St. Cloud itself has actually grown by over 22,000 individuals in the city itself, but the region is a very fast-growing area, and we just haven't been able to keep up with the needs. In fact, studies have been done as far back as 1997 was actually the first study that the Civic Center had stating that we needed an expansion. That was back in 1997. We've had some studies in 2004, 2006, 2007 that show there's a significant need. The current facility, as I said, 103,000 square feet, generates about $18.7 million in economic activity in central Minnesota. What the expansion would do, the expansion that we're looking for is an additional 60,000 square feet of additional space, showroom space, lobby space, additional space. What that additional space will generate, based on the study that we did in 2004, updated again in 5 and 6, shows a $32.4 million additional economic activity. So it's significant for the community and for the region. As Representative Hutt said, this is something that's supported strongly by our region. All of our area cities in the area have passed resolutions of support. The additional space is needed for a number of reasons. We've had about 56% of our convention users right now, when surveyed, said that it's not meeting the space needs, and they will either have to move somewhere else or not be able to hold the function in the area. It's a regional center, St. Cloud, and the facility is a regional facility. It brings in folks from throughout the entire region, so it's that type of venue that's extremely important that we have. If you look at again, as I mentioned, the regional support that we have, this has not only strong business support, the downtown council, labor support that we've received, that was also something that's been really supportive. We did a survey, a scientific survey recently for the community that showed 67% of support for the plan that we have with the partnership. This is a match that we would be facilitating or spending $15 million in our existing food and beverage tax. We have a 1% existing food and beverage tax that the legislature gave us authorization for in 1986. That food and beverage tax actually built the current facility. So we would be asking for $15 million in state bonding with our $15 million match that we would be doing locally. So again, it has strong support. It's something that is part of our downtown, part of our economic development. It's extremely important. We put a lot of focus in the last 2 years on core city, trying to get people to live back in the core city in the neighborhood. It's important to have a healthy downtown for that to happen. There's been a lot of private investment in downtown. Thanks to the legislature, we had a half-cent sales tax building a library at one anchor of the downtown. This is the other anchor of that. So it's significant. It would generate 270 jobs in the community with the expansion, 100 construction jobs that we would have. The other thing that's very important about this project is that if we have that partnership with the state, we're ready to go. We're ready to go in May.
We could actually be constructing in June, and this facility could be ready and operational by next year. We'll be moving our expansion is in where our existing library is. That'll be moving out in May, so we'll have the ability to do that. So it's immediate jobs in construction, and it's 270 jobs long term and $32.4 million in economic activity. So it's a significant regional asset.
Well, we certainly need the work here in this state, and Mr. Anfang, it's nice to see you and the mayor sitting together up there, and I guess we know that you support this, and that's all we need to know, because we got to get out of the room. Any other further questions? If not, Representative Paul, Representative Severson wants to show his support. For
this, it is, Mr. Chair, and this is really a regional project, and
you support the sales tax,
and I support the sales tax.
And that's good. We got you on the record for that. Okay.
This is a six city coming together for this project, and they've worked very well together, and this is a kind of culmination and a good example of the leadership that Mayor Kleiss has had.
Bipartisan support and jobs right away. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Representative Slocum moves the minutes of both February 18th and 19th. Any questions? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Representative Mahoney moves that House Bill 2487 and 2908 be held over, recommended to pass, and held over for possible inclusion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion prevails. Meeting adjourned. And